All right, this is our Press Box podcast. Of course, we are getting ready for March Madness here in Missouri with the Tigers, a number two seed. So I have with us Pete Tiernan, who is with BracketScience.com, and he is going to help us get our brackets filled out. Now, he's not going to tell us the teams, but Pete, you're more into the stats and things that we should look for when we're filling out our brackets. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's the way that bracket science works. I mean, we're looking at historical data going all the way back to 1985 when the 64-team era began, and we're looking for the conditions under which teams beat their seed expectations or fall short of their seed expectations.
And, you know, you might think, oh, come on, you look, it doesn't matter what happened in 1986. But I was looking at your tips on CBSSports.com, and it's pretty interesting. I mean, you can kind of guide yourself through a pretty decent bracket if you just go off of the history of this stuff. Now, obviously, over the last 25 years, no number one seed has ever lost to a number 16 seed. It's
right.
Almost always a sure pick that number 2 and number 15 that's decided. And Mizzou fans will be interested in this. The last time that a number 2 lost to a number 15 was 9 years ago when Iowa State lost to
another Big 12 team, right?
Right, lost to Hampton, a Mideast Atlantic Conference team, which Mizzou is taking on another first time from that conference. So, hopefully history doesn't repeat itself.
No, two seeds are 104-4 over the last 27 years. So I think you're safe. If I were going to pick a 2v15 upset, I would go with Lehigh or Detroit beating Duke or Kansas. Those seem to me to be more likely.
Well, you have made a lot of friends here in this state already with those.
That was
thoughts.
Easy.
Yeah. You just pick anybody against KU. Yeah. You're set here. Now, the two matchups that I always have trouble with are the 8-9 games and the 7-10 games.
Yeah.
Those just seem to bother me the most, because I always look at it and say, all right, I know number one's going to move on, and there's a good chance that number two is going to move on past those schools, but my bracket always gets tripped up picking the 8-9 winner and the 7-10 game. When you look at those matchups, what stats should we pay close attention to?
Well, the one thing I tell people about the 8-9 matchup, and in the last couple of years it hasn't really come to pass, because you've had the 9 seed Northern Iowa beating Kansas a couple of years ago, and then last year you had Butler getting past getting all the way to the Final Four. By and large, though, 8s and 9s are rarely get past a 1 seed. In fact, 9 seeds are 4-52 against 1 seeds. It's just that, it's our recent memory that kind of scares us. But what you want to look for in all of those games is, sometimes it's not the team with the flashy record. In fact, sometimes the teams that have a lower scoring margin are actually more dangerous. It's an indication, I think, that they've played a tough schedule, that they've been in those kinds of rough and tumble games, and they're, that's what the 8-9, 7-10 games tend to be. It's always good to have a coach who's been to the tournament. You don't want a coach who's been to the tournament more than 5 times without ever having reached an Elite Eight. I call those guys snake-bitten coaches. For whatever reason, if you get to the tournament 5 times or more and you haven't been to Elite Eight, you rarely do well after that.
Oh, that's
interesting. That's why you got to worry about all the 5 seed coaches. You look at Kevin Stallings. He's a snake-bitten coach. You look at Greg Marshall. You look at Steve Alford. You look at Fran Dunphy. All those coaches are snake-bitten coaches. When I rate performance in the tournament, they're all underperformers.
We're talking with Pete Tiernan of BracketScience.com, who looks into the stats of choosing which teams will advance through the NCAA tournament. Now, I would think that if you want any shot of competing for your office pool championship, you've got to do well with getting teams to the Sweet 16, obviously. But the ones that seem close to toss-up games are the 4-13 and the 5-12 matchups. Is that not – I mean, those seem to be pretty difficult choices to make as well.
Well, you know, I never advocate, especially if you're in a smaller pool. If you're in a pool with less than, I mean, I think most people are in pools with less than 40 people in them. If you're in that kind of situation, I don't advocate picking an upset in the 4v13 matchups. I suggest that those are, you're more likely to do more damage to yourself by cutting out a high seed in that regard than you are, you know, getting some, you know, a 1 point benefit in the first round for a 13 seed. 13 seeds are very rarely win two games. So it usually just doesn't pay. But if you wanted to go out on a limb, there are some 13 seeds that show the signs of Cinderella's. One would be, and I hate to say this because I'm a Michigan grad, but one would be Ohio. The other would be Davidson. And I'm looking, New Mexico State also has the earmarks of a 13 seed Cinderella. With the other two teams, though, Michigan and Louisville show signs of being 4 seed victims. So that, you know, if you want to go out on a limb with a 4v13, there's some guidance for you.
Now, without divulging all of your information that you could get at bracketscience.com, what are some of those factors or things that you look at when you say Michigan is a could be primed for an upset at a number four? What is it about that that stands
out?
Well,
when you look at Michigan, it tends to be low-scoring teams. Michigan is one of those grinded-out kinds of teams. They're a lot like they're a lot like Wisconsin, where they go possession by possession, and they win a lot of games that they shouldn't because of that, but they also are prone to get beat by anybody because of that.
We're talking with Pete Tiernan of BracketScience.com. This was an interesting stat. I guess it's one that you kind of know it's out there, but when you really look at the numbers, it kind of jumps out at you, and it almost goes to the point of what you're saying. If you're in a small pool, maybe not pick a lot of upsets, but usually 3 of the 4 top seeds win their first 3 games. And now we just found out that Syracuse is going to be without Fab Mello,
yeah,
who's
that
declared
one.
Ineligible. That's an odd twist to this tournament as you're setting up brackets. So, I mean, it looks like a safe bet would be take Kentucky, UNC, and Michigan State, at least getting to the Elite Eight.
Yeah, I mean, I have some bracket models where my guidance is just automatically advance all the 1 seeds 3 rounds because the numbers are pretty strong in your favor for that. The one element that my statistics don't track is injuries. And this is a big injury for Syracuse. This isn't, you know, I mean, a lot of people are concerned about Henson for North Carolina. This is an injury that fundamentally changes the composition of that Syracuse team. They're not going to be as strong as they, you know, they're not going to be able to rely on that zone defense that they have and that they run so well. And they were already a team that struggled with defensive rebounding. So, you know, I mean, when you look at that, you've got to wonder about advancing them 3 rounds. But 76 out of 108 one seeds have made it to the Elite Eight. So, you know, that's something to consider.
It's a safe bet. How do your stats? Have you looked into or examined teams that maybe come into the tournament on hot streaks or come into the tournament on cold streaks? Does any of that play into how well a team does in the tournament?
Yeah, it does. Momentum has been becoming more and more of an indicator of tournament. And but one thing is interesting about this tournament field. Usually we have teams that are on, you know, 2 or more game losing streaks. There isn't a single team in this tournament that has lost 2 games in a row or more. So that sort of momentum is, there isn't a team there that you can point to like Villanova last year and go, geez, they lost 3 games in a row. They're not going to do very well. There are a few teams that have lost, have won only 4 of their last 10, and some that have lost, won only 5 of their last 10. If you've lost more than, you know, four or more games in your teams that have won only five or fewer of their last 10 generally don't do very well in the tournament.
All right, so that's another good thing to look at. Pete, as we wrap up here, what are, I don't know if there's two, three, five, what are some key things that people should keep in mind when they fill out their bracket? Some real basic things that you think could help them.
Well, I think the one thing is it depends on what you want to do with your bracket. If you want to win your pool, if that's all you care about doing is winning your pool, you may want to go a little bit safer. If you're trying to build, trying to actually go out and win the ESPN Tourney Challenge and do something, build the perfect bracket, then you better have probably 8 to 10 upsets in there. And that's when it gets dicey, because the more upsets you pick, you're going to be on one side of the bell curve or the other. You're either going to do very, very poorly, or you're going to do very, very well. That's why we see people like, who don't know anything about basketball sometimes doing the best in these tournaments, in these pools, because they have no inhibitions about picking, some of these underdogs, whereas people who, the more you know, the more cautious you get.
Pete Tiernan of BracketScience.com. You made a lot of friends at the beginning of this podcast when you said that if you had to look at a possibility of a 2 losing to a 15, it could be Kansas losing to Detroit. So you made a lot of friends. Now, this is either going to turn on you or it's going to make you an even bigger friend here in Missouri. But where do you see Mizzou going in the tournament? Where do you have them on your bracket?
I'll tell you this. I have my keeper bracket, which I do after I go through, all my statistics. I do one bracket with my gut instincts, and then I do a second bracket after I've done all my statistical analysis that sort of incorporates all my findings. And I can tell you that my keeper bracket, it hinges on whether Cal beats South Florida, amazingly enough. But in one of my keeper brackets, I do have Missouri getting all the way to the Final Four. In the other one, I have them losing to Louisville. Now, in no bracket, even in my models, did I have them beating Kentucky. But, Final Four is pretty good. I think I still have some friends in Missouri with that.
I think you do, because Missouri has never been to the Final Four, so they would certainly take that. Pete Tiernan of BracketScience.com. Great stuff. It's an exciting time of year for college basketball fans and certainly people around their office who sometimes throw darts at the wall or pick their favorite mascots, and that
sometimes
that works.
And sometimes they do even better than all the statisticians, like last year.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Pete, thanks a lot for your time.
Okay, thank you.